Amen. Thank you, Stan. For every day I have on earth is given by the King. Isn't that true? And so God has been so good to us, and we've been privileged to be able to celebrate that at this Thanksgiving season. Every good thing, every blessing is from Him. Well, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6 this morning. We're going to focus on Matthew 6, verse 12, and then verses 14 and 15. And you might have already guessed, this is right in the middle of what is called the model prayer, sometimes called the Lord's Prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 12 is right in the middle of that. And then verses 14 and 15, right after the prayer, this is what Jesus emphasized, the subject of forgiveness. I felt God's leadership to speak from this passage today, and I think maybe the reason God led me to this passage is because as wonderful as Thanksgiving and Christmas are and the season, it also can be a stressful time. In fact, studies show that from the Thanksgiving holiday through the end of the year and into the beginning of a new year, some of the most difficult times for people. Because with family, as much as we love family, when families get together, sometimes people kind of get at odds with each other, don't they? Or it conjures up, it brings up things that are painful, things that are difficult. And so forgiveness is very important. And if we're not careful, forgiveness will be replaced with bitterness. Instead of forgiving, we'll just get bitter. We'll be bitter toward people. And we don't want that to happen. And so at the end of this Thanksgiving weekend, let's look at what the Bible, what Jesus had to say about the subject of forgiveness. In the model prayer, he mentions it. Of all the things he could have said, notice this is one of the things he mentions. And it's right at the center. Verse 12, Jesus prayed, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." That's the New King James Version. Now, some translations translate debts as trespasses. "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And then verse 14, right after the prayer, the only subject he elaborates on from the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, the only subject he elaborates on is forgiveness. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Isn't that interesting that of all the subjects in the model prayer, the one thing he elaborates on after praying is this subject of forgiveness? That should emphasize to us how important it is, how vital it is to our lives as Christians. Because we have a choice to make in every relationship that we have. Will we guard that relationship? Will we keep it healthy by choosing forgiveness? Or will we choose bitterness? And I believe it is a choice. I understand that it's hard sometimes not to be hurt and to hang on to those hurts and pains. And some are much deeper than others. So don't hear me trying to make light of the subject. I'm not. I know some things are so painful, so dreadful, that they're really hard to let go of. But it's still a choice. It's still a choice. And the Bible here gives us a clear command. Jesus prays, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us." Forgive our debtors. Now, a good way to help us see how we need to forgive is to look at how God forgives. Because if you look at that statement in the prayer, both aspects of forgiveness are there, aren't they? Jesus prayed, forgive us our debts, so we need to be forgiven by God. But then it goes right on to say, as we forgive our debtors, we need to forgive other people. So perhaps an avenue to understand how we should forgive is to look at how God forgives. And it's more amazing when you understand that when we have to forgive somebody, it's one sinner forgiving another sinner. We're mortal, all of us. And so whatever relationship you're dealing with and the subject of forgiveness is there, it's one finite, sinful person being asked to forgive another finite, sinful person. The gap is not that great. We may think of ourselves as being so much better than the other person, but the truth is the gap is not that great. But when God forgave us, He is the holy, sinless, perfect, almighty God who chose to forgive us. That's a giant gap. That's an unspeakable gap. And so if God will forgive us, how can we withhold forgiveness from another person? That's the basic biblical concept. If God forgives us, we should forgive others. And it's a big stretch for God to forgive us. But it's not as big a stretch for us to forgive another person. How does God forgive? Well, first, He forgives instantly. He forgives instantly, immediately. Nehemiah 9:17 tells us, "You are a God of forgiveness, always ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, full of love." So when you think about how God has forgiven us, He forgives us instantly. The moment we ask Him to forgive us, the Bible says He does. He doesn't drag it out. He doesn't wait. The moment you ask Him to forgive you, He will. And remember the gap now. The holy, almighty, sinless God, instantly willing to forgive you. Does that give us some direction on how we should forgive others? Should we withhold it? Should we drag it out? God forgives us. And He does so immediately. In other words, for God, it's something He wants to do. It's in His very nature. He wants to do what's good for us. He wants to forgive us. And so when we relate to other people, our nature as children of God should be that it's our default that we want to forgive. We don't want to hang on to grudges and bitterness and harbor those things and tend them. We want to forgive. That should be who we are. And if that's not who we are, it's not God who's in control. And we need to come to Him and ask Him to make us that kind of a person, because that's who He is. He forgives us immediately. Forgiveness is yours for the asking. He wants you to feel forgiven because you are forgiven in His sight. The moment you ask Jesus to forgive your sin and come into your life, He doesn't want you to go through life feeling this pain, this weight of pain and guilt for your sin, because He has forgiven you. And that's how we ought to be willing to forgive others. The great tragedy today is that there are millions and millions of people carrying around unnecessary guilt over the past. And if they'll only bring their life to God and say, "God, forgive me," it's gone. He instantly forgives you. And that brings us to the second thing. God's forgiveness is complete. It's not only instant, it's complete. He doesn't do it half measures. He doesn't mouth forgiveness but not actually forgive. When He forgives you, it is complete. Colossians 2:13 and 14. in the Phillips translation, I love this, the way this translates, he has forgiven all your sins. He has utterly wiped out the evidence of broken commandments, which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it to the cross. So with God, when he forgives you, the evidence that you ever sinned is gone as far as he's concerned. The problem is, it's still in our mind. It may be still in the minds of people who know us. And they remind us, and we remind ourselves. And of course, Satan, the adversary, is always there whispering in your ear, reminding you of the past. But from God's perspective, when he forgives you, the evidence is gone. It is disposed of. It is completely annulled. What does the word annul mean? It's as if it never happened. If you annul something, it's like it never took place. It did take place, but the love and forgiveness and power of God is so great that in his sight, when he forgives you, it's like it never ever happened. Have you ever been blessed to have a relationship, maybe with a parent, the person you're married to, a child, a friend, and some grievous thing happened, but then forgiveness came? It was never mentioned again. It was as if it never took place. That's the way it's supposed to be, because that's what God does for us. And it's a marvelous thing when you experience that with another human being, that even though this terrible thing took place, it's gone because forgiveness has come. I would say that only can really happen through the power of God, but it can happen through the power of God. I've seen it happen in the lives of people. I've seen marriages put back together that you would think could have never been put back together, but they were. It doesn't always happen. It may not even usually happen, but it does sometimes happen. And when it does, it's a miraculous thing. God can do that. It takes both parties working together. But with God, it's possible if both are willing to submit to him and willing to forgive, to let go. It's not that the hurt isn't there, or even the memory of it is not there, but we've probably all got a scar somewhere. And when it happened, it was a terrible pain. You were cut deeply. I'm talking about a physical scar on your body somewhere. But once it healed, you can still see the scar there, but there's no disease there. There's no sickness. There's no infection. It is healed. It's completely healed. That's what God can do through forgiveness. That's what he's calling us to. And by his power, it can be done. God's forgiveness is that complete. And we should be willing to forgive and let God use us to not just keep, you know, digging up the buried hatchet. You to bury a hatchet, but if you mark where the hatchet is and you go back and dig it up every time something comes along, that's not forgiveness. If the hatchet is buried, it needs to be gone, never dug up again. And a third thing about God's forgiveness, it's lasting and it is available. God's forgiveness, it is eternal. And so when he forgives you of the penalty of your sin and saves you and makes you a child of God, that relationship is established, and no matter what happens, he has forgiven you. And so the penalty of sin cannot touch you. It cannot cause you to be lost. It cannot cause you to go to hell, because God has forgiven you of the penalty of that sin. That doesn't mean you won't still do things that are wrong. Think of it as a child with a parent. The relationship is always there. That's what happens when God forgives you of the penalty of your sin the moment you ask him to. But then a child sometimes will disobey the parent, but they still are their parent's child. the parent doesn't throw you out in the street and say, oh, you're not my child because you did something wrong. But yet there are people who project that onto God. I've never quite understood that. We would not call a parent a good parent who, if the child did something wrong, they were booted out in the street and told, you're not my child anymore. But yet people will say that about God. As a child of God, if you do something wrong, God will just boot you out. You're lost. You've lost your salvation. God is at least as good a father as I am, as you are. He doesn't do that. It is lasting. His forgiveness is lasting. And it is something you can rely on. And it is the most amazing gift you can ever receive. And you can always come to him as a Christian and the fellowship with him be made right by saying, I'm sorry, I have sinned. Please forgive me. It's not the penalty of your sin that is forgiven again, but it's that moment of disobedience, that moment of rebellion, just like a child never stops being the son or daughter of mom or dad. But the fellowship might be broken until you're willing to say, I'm wrong, please forgive me. And then the fellowship is right again. You see, God's forgiveness is lasting and it is always available for his children. So I hope you'll call upon him. 1 John 1:9, written to Christians, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's always true. And then a fourth thing about the way God forgives, it's freely given. And there's no greater testimony to that than Jesus came. We're about to celebrate that with the Christmas season. He came into this world to freely give his life for us so that we might have the forgiveness of sin. It sounds too good to be true. It doesn't even sound fair. It's not fair. Don't ever ask God to be fair to you. If God was fair to us, we'd all go to hell. God is more than fair to you and me. Jesus came and the sinless Lamb of God laid down his life for us, sinners. And sinful people. That's what he did for us. It's not fair. But God is more than fair. He's given his life for us. And he's calling us to be more than fair. To not always ask the question, does that person deserve my forgiveness? Well, did you deserve God's forgiveness? No. But he forgave you anyway. He loved you anyway. His love was so great, it went beyond what was unfair, what was wrong, and gave you eternal life. So when we forgive someone who has hurt us and wronged us, it is a moment in which the miraculous power of God can be displayed, that we choose to forgive the way he has forgiven us. That's what Jesus did when he came. And when he died on the cross, some of his last words, it is finished. Paid for. The debt has been paid, is what he was saying. The debt of our sin. And so when we pray, Father, forgive us our debts, Jesus paid those debts. He freely gave himself so that we can be forgiven. And then the final thing about forgiveness, this is what I think verses 14 and 15 are bearing out. Forgiven people forgive. People who are children of God and have been forgiven, forgive. That's what we're supposed to do. Our nature has been changed. Some will take these verses and say they mean that God has given certain people the ability to forgive sins in this world, almost as if they've been deputized by him to forgive sins. I think it's broader than that. I think he's saying to every one of us, every kingdom citizen, the forgiveness of God, the power of God will flow through your life when you forgive other people. Because it demonstrates that you have been forgiven and that there's something different controlling your life, and that someone is Jesus. And if you forgive people on the basis of the forgiveness you have received, it will translate into the lives of others. It will change their life. It is transformative, not only for us, but for others to forgive. And it's especially transformative when it's been a deep hurt and when the attitude of everyone may be they don't deserve it. That's when you really have the chance to demonstrate the power of God. Because that is how God has forgiven us. Forgiven people forgive. It is totally opposite what it should be if people who claim to have received the forgiveness of God are the last people on earth willing to forgive. My gracious, that is so opposite the nature of God. And how arrogant for us to set ourselves up as if we are more important than God. God's forgiven us. Why can't we be forgiving people? Now that brings us to the question, how? Okay, if we've established that God wants us to forgive, we should forgive, we must forgive, how do I do it? You may be thinking, well, that's easy for you to stand up there and preach about, but you don't know what's happened to me. You don't know how deeply I've been hurt. And you're right, I don't. And I'm not here to say that there aren't horrific things that have happened to people. Maybe things that no other human being even knows about. You know it. And the person who hurt you know it, but maybe nobody else does. But God does. And He can help you. I would dare say nothing any worse, as terrible as things can be, but there have been terrible things happen to people who have forgiven. They have chosen to forgive. They have said, I'm not going to be in bondage to this. I won't let this hurt, whatever this person did to me, I'm not going to let that be the story of the rest of my life. I'm going to choose to forgive. I'm not going to be defined by this. Now, we live in a society that tries to define people by their hurts and keep them confined there for the rest of their lives. But we believe that God is so powerful and so transformative, He can overcome those things in our lives. I believe that. And I think you believe that. If God is powerful enough to send His Son to die and pay for our sin on the cross and then rise from the dead, He can help us to overcome whatever we face. Corrie ten Boom, a woman whose family hid Jews from the Nazis. You have probably seen her story, The Hiding Place. It was a book, a movie about that story. She was a Christian. Her family were Christians, but they hid Jews. But then they were ratted out and arrested, sent to the concentration camps. Everyone in her family died. Her parents, her sister, she survived, though. And after the war, after she was liberated from the camps, she tells the story of being at a meeting where she was giving her testimony about God's power. And there she saw a man. And here's what she says. I saw him come with a smile on his face, and he said to me, Corrie, I want you to forgive me. And he put out his hand. And then she realized he was one of the guards from the camp. She had seen him do unspeakable things to people, kill people, torture people. And he had a direct impact on the death of her own sister, Betsy. She said, I froze. A chill went over me. And when I saw that man that I knew to be the very mirror of evil, I knew that I did not have the power to forgive him. And I did not want to forgive him. And she said, I breathed a prayer and I said, oh God, help me to forgive. Oh God, help me to forgive. And she said, as an act of obedience, I put out my hand. And when his hand touched mine, liquid love began to flow through me. And I found out that God's grace is sufficient. And I forgave. So what did she do? She cried out to God, oh God, help me to forgive. So if you want to forgive somebody that you have not been able to forgive, try first crying out to God, oh God, help me. Recognize you can't do it. You can't do it on your own. Oh God, help me to forgive. And then take a step of obedience. What was her step of obedience? She put out her hand. And when her hand met his hand, everything changed. She was saying, God, help me. I'm willing to be obedient. What is your step of obedience? What do you need to do? Maybe it's to put out your hand to somebody. Shake their hand. Maybe it's to send them a letter. Send them a card. Call them on the phone. I don't know. God will help you to know what that step of obedience is. But if you'll take that first step, God will help you to forgive. Don't say you can't. You can. With God's help, you can. It's his power. It's his love. And when we're willing to do that, something miraculous can take place. I hope that as you go through this holiday season, if there's anyone that you need to be reconciled with, what a great thing it would be to forgive. Now, they may not reciprocate. You know, you can forgive somebody even if they don't forgive you. You can let go of the bitterness and the hurt and release it into God's hands and say, God, for my part, I forgive this person. And then you turn them over to God. And hopefully someday they will admit what they did was wrong. Or they will own up to their part. Or they will also say, I'm sorry. Whatever. That you can take the step to do what you can do. And then leave it in God's hands. And when we do that, we're set free. We are set free from the bondage of that hurt and that bitterness and that pain. And God can use us for his glory. Choose forgiveness. Choose forgiveness. And may God be glorified. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that you chose forgiveness. And you had no reason to. But you did because you love us. Because of your mercy, your grace, and we can't thank you enough for it. We don't understand it, but we thank you for it. And we pray that you'll help us to become more like you, more like Jesus, by being willing to forgive. Lord, maybe you're laying somebody on our heart this morning that we need to forgive. Or maybe we need to seek forgiveness from somebody. Whatever you would want for us, Lord, help us to be willing, to be obedient, to take that step of faith and to let you help us to make things right. Lord, we pray that in this moment of invitation, whatever decisions need to be made, and maybe someone needs to receive your forgiveness. They need to say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need your help. Please forgive me and come into my life. And we know that you have promised that whoever calls on your name will be forgiven. So in these moments, we pray your will would be done. And as we leave here today, may every person leave knowing that they're ready to stand before you someday. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.